Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Today is a wine show, and actually today is a sparkling wine show, so hooray.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's...
You have something French?
I am very aroused.
Here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. From Scharfenberger, we have the Scharfenberger Rosé, the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence, the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. We have the Perrier-Jouët Blanc de Blanc, the Perrier-Jouët Grand Brut,
the Perrier-Jouët. What? The who?
The Perrier-Jouët.
Perrier-Jouët.
Yeah.
You flirted on the second one. You didn't drink that much champagne.
The Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët Blason Rosé. And from Lanson, we have the Lanson Le Green Bio Organic and the Lanson Le Vintage 2012.
We'll be right back after this break. Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
No.
Nobody's going to challenge
that? No, you know,
I'm not going to challenge.
At 2 a.m. last night, I was on Apple TV starting Severance Season 2.
Mm. 2 a.m., I was watching Monty Python's Holy Grail. So,
you know, I have that on DVD somewhere, but I don't know where my DVD player is.
I have the entire Monty Python.
So do I.
Everything on a DVD kit.
Like, I've got
all
the
episodes,
thing.
All the movies, everything.
It's I literally haven't seen ever. My DVD player in years. You I don't even know where would. I put it. Of course we would, dude.
I was watching Wall Street Week, but I cut off the end because I didn't want to know how it turned out.
You're broke. Never mind. That's how it ends. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Justin.
Oh, good
morning,
Bob.
Good old boy, Justin. Whatever. Yeah. Made Man Maury.
Pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Bob. Very bubbling with excitement to be here today.
And what's his name, Harmeet?
What's his name? I've got good old boy on my shirt.
Good old boy, Made Man, whatever the hell you are.
I'm the only one wearing the official shirt for the show today.
What's the anchor for? What do you like? You oh, trying to pick up sailors?
I went to the
Hi Sailor
Rum Congress a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
they,
how was it?
The black tot pin. It's getting smaller, but the quality is still great. There's some wonderful producers at Rum Congress.
Cool.
I was going to make a video about it, but I just got so busy.
There's so many good rums that most Americans will never see. That's the sad thing.
Oh, I'm carrying a lot of the rum at my store now because people like Florida Rum Society are really pushing it in Florida.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. I've got all those, you know, wonderful, like, funky stuff coming out of Jamaica and Barbados. And let me not talk about the store. But yeah, anyway, the rum selection is starting to rival the bourbons.
Well, I would argue that you can interchange the two, especially in a cocktail. A lot of people are making rum-based old-fashioned.
Yes.
And since we know that all of the color comes from the barrel, mm-hmm. and a very large percentage, we can debate about that, of the flavor, you can see where a barrel-aged spirit, regardless of what the substrate is, be it rum or be it whiskey mash, they start to approach similar notes when you sip it.
As you age them longer. Yeah.
And so I find people who love brown spirits, they can drink almost any brown spirit as they age.
But the problem is, in this country, we have such bad rum.
Well, you know what Homer says.
If it's brown, drink it down.
Although, you know, we've gone off on a tangent. Today is not about brown. Yeah.
So today is a wine show, and actually today is a sparkling wine show, so hooray.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's...
You have something French?
I am very aroused.
Well, Jean-Luc Picard is ostensibly French, but he's a British man. Come on. Where's the French sound effects?
Chateau Picard. Come on. Yeah.
I know.
Well, today we're going to be drinking sparkling wine, so I am damn excited. So here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. From Scharfenberger, we have the Scharfenberger Rosé, the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence, the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. We have the Perrier-Jouët Blanc de Blanc, the Perrier-Jouët Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët.
The who?
The Perrier-Jouët.
Perrier-Jouët.
Yeah.
You flirted on the second one. You didn't drink that much champagne.
And the Perrier, yeah, the Grand Brut, the Perrier-Jouët Blason Rosé. And from Lanson, we have the Lanson Le Green Bio Organic and the Lanson Le Vintage 2012.
I am very aroused.
Very happy today. So we're going to go to our sips ratings, and we're going to have our...
Why?
Yeah, I know. We're going to have our... Okay, fine. Justin, just do it.
All right. Well, today I'm in California state of mind. I'm your ex-president, Bill Clinton.
That has something to do with California, apparently.
He's from Arkansas, dude.
Yep.
Your minor detail.
All right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Water. That's what she said.
Two sips. Nosh, but what else do you have, Hillary?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. That's interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Monica?
You can't tell we're all laughing on the inside.
Yeah. Monica Lewinsky. Yeah.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves and pour me another.
That's classified.
That was definitely what he told Monica Lewinsky. Let's keep this secret to ourselves, yeah.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good. It's like McDonald's. My God.
Oh my goodness.
The good old days.
Yeah, Slick Willie. What are you going to do? Okay, so. Man, what are we at? 6 minutes already in the toilet. Way to go. So we're going to have Maury tell us about our first wines.
Thank you, Bob. The history of Scharfenberger Cellars begins in 1981 in the heart of Mendocino's Anderson Valley. Situated only miles from the coastal influences of the Pacific Ocean, Scharfenberger Cellars also enjoys the deep soils and sunshine within the protected valley. Originally founded by John Scharfenberger, the winery entered a new chapter as a member of the Roederer Collection in 2004. The winery's commitment to preserving and nourishing the land runs deep and has been a guiding principle since the early days. In 1992, Scharfenberger Cellars granted 63 acres to the Anderson Valley Land Trust. Today, the entirety of their 120-acre estate is sustainably farmed and fish-friendly farming certified. All of Scharfenberger's wines are made in the two-step method traditionnel process, where the wines are individually bottle fermented before being riddled and disgorged.
You almost said method champenois.
It's really the same,
it's
is it not?
It's the same thing. Yeah. I don't know why they changed the tradition.
I wanted to say method champenois, and I
was
startled. So, yes, it's method champenois or method traditionnel. I believe they are synonymous.
We.
Approximately 80% of their wines undergo malolactic fermentation, and it is a signature of the Scharfenberger style and contributes to the wine's rich, creamy texture. Every bottle ages a minimum of 24 months on the lees, and after disgorgement is aged on the cork for 6 months. The first selection today is the Scharfenberger Rosé. It is a non-vintage, coming in at 12.5% ABV from Mendocino County. It is 55% Chardonnay, 45% Pinot Noir. The fruit balance and color are achieved by adding between 4 and 5% of Pinot Noir wine to the blend before undergoing second fermentation in the bottle.
This wine is a very, very pale rosé color. It's crystal clear. It's got very nice, fine, beautiful bubbles. On the nose, lots of fresh raspberry jam, wild strawberries, and a hint of cream-covered pastry. On the palate, the flavors are layered. There's fruit. There's definitely pastry. There's a bit of yeast. Harm, don't you think? It's just lovely.
Yeah, I
find that it's luscious. It's mouth coating. I do agree with the creaminess. Now, a lot of times we think Malot will give that buttery flavor. Here, it just really gives more of a creaminess, a mouth texture that's really quite pleasant. This wine has improved considerably in the glass. When I first poured it, it was perhaps a little blistering cold.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was extremely cold. So number one, please don't drink your champagne blisteringly cold. It should be drunk just below room temperature. And secondly, the air,
both Florida warming, room temperature or yeah. France room temperature?
Florida room temperature.
Okay. No.
Antarctica room temperature.
And I really find that the air and the combination of warming up has done it well. Again, beautifully long finish. This wine is delicious. It's very well made. And I enjoyed it very much. What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I got rose petals, lemon, and like creme. On the palate, it was fruity and refreshing. And the finish was like bready and lightly chalky. But as it warmed up, the chalkiness kind of went away. What did you think, Bob?
Just so everybody knows, we do whenever we have... especially a sparkling wine or white wine, we always started out with it cold, probably colder than it needs to be.
Well, but most people drink their champagne cold.
Because so many people do, exactly. So we're trying to, I mean, is it proper? I don't think so. But so many people do drink it blistering cold. So we start out with that, and it takes a couple hours to do a 52-minute show. So we let it sit, and we let it warm up, and we let it change, and we let it evolve. And it's a different wine than when it was when we first opened it.
And I think patience, again, we extol this virtue on a regular basis, but patience will reward you.
Yeah, drink a glass over an hour, you'll get a lot more out of it.
It's absolutely delicious. There's some lovely fresh berries on it. A little bit of a citrus, almost a Meyer's lemon on the back palate.
I'm getting orange peel.
It's got a nice roundness to it. It's got a good mouth coat. That Malot really seems to round it out. I think it's excellent. I was stunned how good it was.
I must admit, I never really used the word Malot or malolactic fermentation in champagne in the same sentence before. But in this case, it doesn't give the buttery note that you might expect like in a Chardonnay. It gives that rounded, beautiful viscosity and creamy mouthfeel.
Well, so the acidity nice of champagne is so much higher.
Yeah.
But this, the thing, I mean, I think everything you guys have said is right. This is, it's gotten much better.
Shocking.
I'm getting the raspberry jam and the strawberry, but I'm getting more orange peel rather than lemon. And again, the roundness and the fruit, it's so well balanced. The acid bounces all that Malot out, and it's got a medium long finish, which nobody said. I think we need to raise the score up, I think, right, from our original notes. Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It's and there's a hint gotten, of spice coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it was great in the glass.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up discussing the Scharfenberger Rosé Non-Vintage. Anybody else have anything else to say before I throw a rating on this?
The quality of this wine has gone up over the years so much. I used to not enjoy Scharfenberger. It looks like when Roederer bought it, they really improved the quality. Yeah. I mean, I've always loved Roederer Estate. Roederer Estate champagnes taste just as good as the French stuff. I mean, Roederer Estate sparkling wine from California, Anderson Valley, tastes just as good as the French stuff for half the price.
Yeah.
This is a little bit less.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's amazing.
It's a lot less. Yeah. It's
yeah, I think that this is a huge value for a high quality rosé sparkling. I don't think you can find one for less money that tastes any better.
No.
I don't think you can find one for more money that's as
there's good Cremant coming out of Alsace, but it's not going to be the same grapes. It won't be the champagne grapes. They'll be using different things like what am I thinking? They'll be using Riesling and they'll be using Fall Blanche and weird stuff like that.
Well, during the commercial, we were all talking about how we need to buy a few cases of some of the Scharfenberger. So we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Rosé a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Bob, would you like to tell us about the next Scharfenberger one?
That takes us off to our next one, which is the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence. So it's non-vintage, 12.5% ABV. Mendocino County, it's a 60% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir. Has a dosage of 8.5 grams per liter. On the nose, I get a toasted oak. I get apples and pears.
Harm, you have the bottle?
And I get white flowers. And then on the palate, hold on. This is the one we were discussing it before we actually started recording, how it's not sweet. It's just...
It smells sweet to me.
But it's sweeter than I was expecting as a brut, both on the nose and the palate. Just a slight edge, but, you know, it's more American in taste, I think. There's a brioche in here. There's like a lemon curd and a citrus note to it. Really well done. What'd you think, Harm?
It's a beautiful golden color. I got, when I first approached it, when it was really cold, I got like... toasty oak, toasted bread, and sweet candied nuts like candied pecans, but that's gone now. Now it's settled down. We've got that brioche note, that like toasted brioche. The candied nuts are gone, but there's still like an almond thing going on here. A balanced acidity, a little bit of citrus on the nose as well. On the palate, balanced acidity. You said lemon curd. I think that's a good call. I was thinking lemon peel, but you're right. It's lemon curd. Golden apples and toast.
Creamy, lemony, curdy. Yeah.
Yeah, but as it's warmed up, it's gotten more creamy. Yeah. When it was colder.
It was sharp. It was sharp. Edgy. Yeah.
Medium short finish. That's the only thing I have to say against it.
Yeah. Mark? I mean, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said, Harm. I think it's very nicely done. I enjoyed it. I found this is more of a kind of an all-day sipper for me. This is just something you can just sit and relax and enjoy by the poolside. It's bright. It's refreshing. I liked it quite a lot. Justin?
So I thought the color was like a pretty light yellow. It was zesty. Lemony, tangerine, new car smell, and soapy on the nose. But
I didn't get that soapy note you're talking about.
It evaporated over time. But when I first opened it up, I got that. On the palate, it was very refreshing. I got bright green apple. On the finish, it started off with that green apple again and ended in some nice effervescence. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, did I say green? I said apple, but I think you're right. It's green apple. Maury?
Yeah, as I said, I agree with you. I think it's a little more green than red apple. Beautifully done.
All right. Well, we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence a well-deserved 3 sips.
You know, this would be a great mimosa.
Yes.
Because people use Prosecco. I find Prosecco is way too sweet.
100%.
If you use champagne to make a mimosa.
Brut.
Brut champagne. It's so much better. I think it, I would use this.
It may be sugar with the orange juice to say this, but I think a Bellini.
You know what? That is sacrilege. Completely. Bellini is the peach nectar, you know, the Harry's bar from Venice. Then that's always been Prosecco.
I think this would go with a Bellini, though.
Okay. I think there's other things. I've got customers who walk in and use buy Dom Perignon for their mimosas. I just...
Nice.
I mean, I can't really relate, but I'm happy to sell it to them.
Yeah.
But I would use this.
Damn right. Happy to take dummies money. So, all right. Let's go on to our next wine. We're going to have Justin tell us about that.
So now we get to talk about Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc. It's non-vintage, 12.5% alcohol by volume. It's from Mendocino County, California. It's 100% Chardonnay. The color for me was like a cream, light yellow. The nose was a little fishy, more cream, and tart pastry.
Did you wash your hands before you came in here?
Yeah. And on the palate, I got like
I'm
a...
I'm not making the dirty joke.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm not going there. No, not going anywhere near that one.
On palate, I got lemon frosty and toasted bread points. The finish was like a lemony effervescence. What did you think, Harm?
You're not off. I think the fish note is weird to me. I got yeasty, bready notes. Maybe when it was cold, it was smelling a little bit fishy to you. I have no idea. It didn't do that to me. I got golden apple again, orange peel and lemon peel. Maybe now it's, as it's warmed up, it's got some good spice coming out. It's the palate's just like the nose, a little more minerally. I got some floral notes, maybe lilac. I'm not sure. There's more floral notes on the palate, which is kind of weird. It's on the nose. There's a minerally salinity to it, just a tint. Medium long finish, and that salinity comes back on the finish now that it's warmed up.
And what do the fish swim in?
Apparently, champagne. Yeah.
Yes. If they're lucky.
Well, this is more limestone than salt, but go ahead. Maury, what do you think?
I like this one. I think this is a bit of a step up. For a lot of people, if they're not aware, a Blanc de Blanc is typically a little bit of a step up. These are 100% Chardonnay. Blanc de Blanc referring to the fact that it's a white champagne made exclusively from white grapes. As you notice with the one above, there was 40% Pinot Noir, which is a red grape. And that is a whole nother story. But in any event, I think this wine has a level of sophistication that I really like. It's got a little bit more yeastiness, a little more brioche and bread notes to it, which I personally like. To me, this is more of an evening sipper, something I like to wind down with either as an aperitif or an after dinner with some cheese. I find the other one more bright and refreshing for during the day, but this is my kind of go-to to just sit down and
enjoy. The minerality here, now that it's warmed up, I want oysters.
Yeah.
I'd pair this with oysters any day. Make a champagne-based mignonette with this champagne drink or this sparkling wine.
I agree,
but the minerality is, to me, is the back end to the upfront yeastiness, and then the minerality just sort of carries through the mid-palate.
But as it's warmed up, it's become more pronounced.
I agree.
Well, the minerality and the salinity come through, and if you handed this to me and told me this came from France, I would 100% believe you.
Yeah, the quality here is. I mean, I used to not love Scharfenberger. I mean, Roeder Estate was my go-to American sparkling wine because you know Roeder makes Cristal. They know how to make champagne, and their American stuff was always as good as the French stuff and cheaper. And now they've really elevated Scharfenberger.
Well, let me tell you a story. I did a blind tasting, and I called it Big Brother, Little Brother for a wine group a few years back. And we looked at the French versus the California version. And the winner of the night, it was done blindly, was the Anderson Valley Champagne, was the wine of the night. It beat out Cristal. It beat out Dom.
No.
I poured them blindly.
It's good, but it's not that good.
I'm telling you, I poured them blindly. This is going back about 8 years ago, and we did Cristal and Anderson. We did, you name it, we've done them. And on that particular night.
And just in case the people from Roeder Estate are listening, because they own Scharfenberger as well, we'd love to do Roeder Estate on the show. Just saying.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Those wines have gotten more expensive.
My point is that the folks in Champaign have really translated their knowledge and experience to California properties, and you can get French quality champagne out of California.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this one. You didn't used to be able to, but you can now.
But I thought the Blanc de Blanc was excellent. I generally do love Blanc de Blanc champagnes. They're just so sophisticated and
we keep saying champagne, but we mean sparkling wine here.
Well, pinkies up, folks.
Pinkies up.
Yeah. So well done. The minerality, the chalkiness, the salinity to it. Again, if you told me, you know, this came from Rem, I would go, yeah, of course it does. It's so well done, so well put together. The lemon curd is there, the brioche is there, the minerality is there, that salinity is there. It's got a lovely roundness to the palate. This is absolutely delicious. Yeah. I'm Scharfenberger, I'm stunned. I mean, really, honestly, guys, you should be buying Scharfenberger. This is for the money. You're not going to get a better sparkling wine out of California for damn sure.
I would agree. The last couple times I've had sort of, you know, pick it up and go California sparkling, they've been good, yeah, but not blow your socks off. But this is a step up from what most people are buying.
We've been discussing 20 years ago, sparkling wines in California. They were working. They were trying. They were doing everything they could.
I think the Roeder was always a step up. But now the Roeder owns this.
They have all really, as a class, all stepped of them up. Have stepped up so far to the point where they're challenging their French rivals. I mean, there's some amazing sparkling wine in California.
You wonder why so many French companies are buying California property.
Exactly, yeah. They're not dumb. Yeah. They've been doing it for a couple of hundred years. They figured it out. So we're going to be giving the Scharfenberger Blanc de Blanc a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next house of sparkling wine. We're going to have Harm tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Our Pierre Nicolas Perrier and Rose Adelaide Jouet. So Perrier Jouet. We were saying Jouet earlier. Let me address that. There's an umlaut over the E. You have to pronounce the T. They shared a love of nature and the arts. She was the daughter of Norman Calvados producer, and he was an Epernay-based cork supplier, vintner, and botanist. A year after their wedding in 1811, the year of the comet, they founded Maison Perrier Jouet. Shipments to Great Britain began in 1815 and to the United States in 1837. Their son, Charles Perrier, a botanist like his father, took over the house in 1848. And in 1858, Eugene Galice and Charles Perrier's brother-in-law became a partner in Perrier Jouet. In 1878, Eugene's son, Louis Adolphe Octave Galice, and his brother Henri inherited the company. And in Paris, during that period of Belle Epoque, the start of the 20th century, the Octave meant Emile Gallet, one of the pioneers of Art Nouveau movement, and commissioned him to design a bottle for Perrier Jouet. The 4 magnums featured a spray of Japanese white anemones were delivered in 1902, and the design became an emblem of the house. You've all seen that beautiful hand-painted bottle.
Unfortunately, we don't have one today, but yeah, that's
what we're drinking today.
That is so, I mean, everybody knows that bottle.
That's how I brought in the millennium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Good stuff. So we're drinking their base wine. And this is the Perrier Jouet.
Base wine, like it's, yeah, okay.
Actually, we're not drinking their base wine first. I think we're drinking the
Grand Brut.
The Grand Brut next. This is the Blanc de Blancs. But this is not their vintage Blanc de Blanc. The vintage Blanc de Blanc is way, way above this. We're drinking the non-vintage, 12.5% ABV, 100% Chardonnay, dosage of 8 grams per liter of sugar. Up to 15% of the wines are reserve wines aged for at least 3 years on the lees. It's a pale gold. The nose, tons of flowers. Flowers, I can't identify them. I mean, there's acacia there. There's honeysuckle there, I guess. But I get a lot of citrus on the nose. That lemon curd we've heard earlier. But here, to me, it's still more like the lemon peel. Lemon peel and orange peel. A little bit of orange marmalade on the nose. On the palate, it's so minerally and fresh. Very mellow. Tons of good golden apple. A little bit of sweet lemon and orange. And then it's but soft and slightly salty. Medium long finish. But it's not my favorite Blanc de Blancs because I'm spoiled because I've had their vintage stuff.
Yeah.
Maury, what did you think on this one?
You know, as much as I hate to admit it, Harm, I think you're right all the way around. For me, this was a bit of a citrus bomb. I found it to be